This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States to get the latest from the markets. Nick, I hope you're well and looking forward to the weekend, no doubt.
Hey, Johnny. Yes, I am definitely looking forward to the weekend, and we've got some good news going into it.
Yes, we heard earlier today about the latest US consumer price index numbers, and well, they are better than markets had expected, and they have responded accordingly.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, CPI print this morning was better than expected. It could be a little confusing at the first glance because you did get a rise in inflation year over year. Previously, we had a 2.9% print. But remember, it's been a little bit of time since we have had a CPI print. It's gone through the government shutdown for, you know, several weeks now. And I think we're approaching the longest ever, which is kind of interesting. But regardless, we've got a CPI print today. They put that out there, and of course, it was actually a better than expected print, meaning they forecasted a 3.1. And when I say they, I'm talking about the economist community, you know, Wall Street, collection of the big players, put out this prediction for a 3.1% year-over-year inflation rate. Instead, we got an actual report of just 3.0%. So the U.S. had better than expected inflation with lower than expected CPI, as in tandem with the U.K. did earlier this week. We saw CPI in the U.K. come to 3.8%. It was forecasted to go to 4%. Now, this is very welcome because the Fed is expected to cut interest rates two additional times through the end of this year. What has been more up for debate in recent times and what is moving the market here today to the upside for stocks and risk assets is whether or not we're going to continue to cut from there. Because the Fed is dealing with a dual mandate that they always deal with, which is peak employment, keeping people in jobs, as well as inflation concerns. It's sort of one of those things where people who think the Fed should not cut rates will point at inflation, and people who think they should cut rates will point at the jobs market. But the Federal Reserve themselves has indicated that the bigger risk that they see at this time seems to be employment. And so did we get a rise in CPI from 2.9 to 3%? Yes, we did. But that was not as bad as feared, which was 3.1%. That was the prediction. And yet we still have a labor market that seems to be in decline, though we are operating admittedly in the dark due to the government shutdown. The point though is that, okay, if the Fed knows inflation is rising, but may not be as pressing of an issue as employment statistics, what are they likely to do? They are likely to administer to that side of the mandate first. Powell has expressed this pretty transparently, that the Fed's goal is to focus when both sides of the mandate are under pressure, jobs and inflation. He's mentioned that the Fed's goal, their strategic approach, is to administer to the part of the mandate that they see as further away from their target. So is inflation on target? No. Is jobs market, though, also showing signs of weakening? Yes. So they are administering, it seems, more in that direction. So they've also, and there's a distinction here to make too, the Fed has also qualified what the current interest rate, the Fed funds rate, as restrictive. So they see the current interest rate as restrictive, which means we have room to bring that down if we see a need to. They now see a need. So again, it can kind of be confusing at first look. You're like, why is the Fed cutting rates when inflation is going up? Well, it's sort of inflation's going up, but jobs market data seems to be weakening faster. So we've got to focus on the jobs market.
Interesting what you're saying there. When I relate that analysis, Nick, to what's happening over here with UK interest rates and the Bank of England forever in this balancing act between trying to control inflation but not affect growth, because we do have, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, low GDP numbers, but a reasonable CPI, which earlier in the week suggested that the trend isn't as bad as it was thought. But having said that, the best we can hope for on this side of the Atlantic is a rate cut maybe at the very end of this year, or perhaps more likely to the beginning of next year.
Yeah, and Johnny, to your point there, I mean, there's another added component that's tricky. With inflation, there is the idea that if you have strong growth in an economy, that can also bid up prices to an extent. But in the UK, you're pointing out accurately that there's not a lot of growth. Like the GDP growth numbers have not been very impressive out of the UK, and yet you have sticky inflation. So not only, to your point, do you have higher inflation than the US does, you also have that lower growth. So the inflation that is there is probably not very much attributed to growth from the economy, right? So if there, and so that, that makes for a very difficult circumstance that the Bank of England is in. However, again, I think the Bank of England will probably try to make the same distinction that the Fed will make, which is what side of the issue is more pressing. And, you know, 3.8% inflation is very different than even just 3% inflation. Once you start getting close to that 4% inflation, especially with low growth, inflation can really, really hurt purchasing power of the citizens of that country. And you know, the UK has been going through that with years of, you know, meager growth with sticky inflation. And we also see it in government debt in the UK continues to rise. It's a difficult circumstance. And I think it's not something that is totally completely unique to just the UK. There are several countries that continue, including the US. The difference is US still has that sustained growth, at least for now. And so it is a difficult circumstance where you have low growth, but sticky inflation. And I think the Bank of England is playing, in my opinion, an even harder game than the Federal Reserve is, because the Federal Reserve is working with an economy that is growing and still relatively strong. Yes, you have the labor market that's not great, but many other growth metrics look decent for the US. So a difficult circumstance, to be honest, you know, in my opinion, is the Bank of England in comparison to the Federal Reserve. So what does that do to the British pound? I know a lot of traders are probably wondering, you know, I would lean, my personal opinion is to lean towards the Bank of England is probably going to cut interest rates and hope that inflation doesn't get out of control, but that they do need to do something to stir, you know, growth in the economy. That is probably, in my opinion, something that is going to start to take their attention more so even than 3.8% inflation.
So we've seen a pretty positive reaction today from markets after those US CPI figures, Nick.
That's right. We have the NASDAQ, at least at the time of recording this, up around 1% on the day. That is a fresh all-time high for both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. Dow Jones also just barely tapping into an all-time high at the time of recording this. You have volatility back down. The VIX is at 16.5. The dollar index pretty flat today. Mostly a very welcoming response from the equities market in response to cooling inflation in the U.S. I mean, that again gives the Fed some room, some wiggle room to continue to modestly cut interest rates into an economy that's seeing, you know, stocks at all-time highs and growth that still seems to be doing pretty well. We also have seen a very strong start from corporate earnings. Earnings season is here in the U.S. and things have been strong so far. So for now, things look pretty strong for the U.S. markets.
So we're ending the week on a positive note. What about the next few days or so, Nick? What should we look ahead to?
Yeah, so next week we are going to have a couple key events taking place. On Tuesday, we have the Australian CPI numbers coming out. And then on Wednesday, we get sort of our big day of the week. We're going to hear from the Bank of Canada as well as the Federal Reserve. We have a press conference and a rate statement as well. And then, of course, also we will hear from the Bank of Japan. So several key things on Wednesday. On Thursday, it's very very much up in the air. Tentative advanced GDP number, of course, due to the government shutdown stuff. Not a lot of updates coming out of that just yet. And then on Thursday, we also hear from the ECB. And then let's see, on Friday, we are going to end out the week with some core PCE numbers, which are also marked as tentative. So again, depending on what happens with government shutdown stuff.
Excellent stuff. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks, Sean. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.